Okay, dear Dhamma friends, we are going to start the sutta teaching session. We are actually discussing several suttas which we can get some insights towards our practice. So I have selected the Mahasatipatthana Sutta as the next our topic because it is extremely relevant to our practice, and this is based on this, actually, we are continuing our complete practice. So this is, therefore, we can say as the complete skeleton of our practice, whole foundation of our practice. So therefore, Satipatthana Sutta is very relevant to our practice. So therefore, I have taken it for a fair amount of discussion. Now, as you know, Satipatthana Sutta is available at several places. In Majjhima Nikaya, there is Satipatthana Sutta, and again in Diga Nikaya, there is Satipatthana Sutta, where only difference is that Diga Nikaya one has certain, only that, what you call this, Satcha Pabba in a little longer longer version. So I'll explain these things later. So therefore, if we consider the Satipatthana Sutta itself, there are two places it is available. One in Majjhima Nikaya and another one in Diga Nikaya. That is the middle length discourses as well as in the long discourses. And on the other hand, there are many Satipatthana related suttas altogether collected and put it into Sanyukta Nikaya. And it is called Satipatthana Sanyukta. So therefore, we can see the Satipatthana is a sort of a common subject. And there are many places Satipatthana being referred, and there are many monks who have discussed with others in praise of Satipatthana. So therefore, it has become a sort of a core teaching of the Buddha. There are other times where when Buddha thought of teaching Satipatthana, there's another sutta called Brahma Sutta. Available in Satipatthana Sangyukta, there is one Brahma called Sahampati. So he immediately come in front of the Buddha and he praised the Buddha, telling that it is not only you, Bhante, that there is previous Buddhas also have selected Satipatthana as the path to purification. So therefore, it is not unique to our Buddha, the Gautama Buddha, but even to previous Buddhas, Satipatthana has become one of their core teachings. With that little sort of an introduction, we can get on to the sutta. At this point, Buddha was staying at Kuru. There's a Kuru is one of the country in a kind of a, another region in India, and there's a Kammasa Dhamma is the one of their cities. And Buddha was staying with the Sangha at this Kammasa Dhamma, the city of Kammasa Dhamma. There Buddha is taking the subject. There is no any specific reason. Buddha himself has taken the subject. And there Buddha wants to discuss this sutta or to teach the Satipatthana to the monks. So he is taking himself the topic and asks monks to pay attention. And he started with Ekayano ayam bhikkave maggo sattanam visuddhiya. Soka pariddhavanam samatikkamaya dukkha domanassanam atthangamaya nyayassa adhigamaya nibbanassa sacchikiriyaya yadidam chattaro satipatthana. So this is the sort of a preamble given to Satipatthana, or preface given to Satipatthana, where Buddha is giving very strong benefits at the very beginning of the sutta. Ekayano. So Ekayano, the term Ekayano, we can say this is the direct path. So if we simply say this is the only path, then we are little exaggerating whole Buddha's teaching, because Buddha has taught several other teachings or several other methods, strategies as well to attain Nibbana. But on the other hand, Ekayano, we can refer as direct path, where there are no any other sideways or side tracks to go to various other things, but directly whoever the practicing Satipatthana will be directed towards a Nibbana. And therefore, if one wants to attain Nibbana, if one is ambitious to attain Nibbana, so this is the best method. So if one wants to attain, go to say heaven or any other thing, there may be various other techniques, but Satipatthana directly pointing towards Nibbana. So therefore, there's a sort of a unique features available in Satipatthana, and they are actually possible to understand. It is not difficult. When one is practicing Satipatthana, there are some very salient features in Satipatthana, which is we'll discuss as we move forward. Ekayano, so is the direct path. Ayam bhikkave maggo, sattanam visuddhya. So sattanam visuddhya basically means the purification of the beings. Now, why beings are to be purified? So basically we know this is not our first birth. So we have been in this sansara for a long, long time. And as a result, we are born in hell realms, we are born in human realms, we are born in celestial realms, as well as in the Brahma realms. So we were actually wandering in this long sansara, and due to certain causes, especially due to ignorance, avijja, as well as due to the craving, tanha. So those two main factors become sort of the pivotal point of our wandering, main causes for our wandering. So on such situation, so we are very much like polluted and very much like conditioned, and as a result we are not in a position to be free from this long journey. And on the other hand, there are various we can say michadittis, wrong views people had, and even today they have, and they are trying to purify themselves using various other means. Say for example, burning fire from all four directions, and in the midday, during the noon, one is going to the middle position and the burning happens from the top as well through the sun. So one is trying to burn one's defilements. So this is another technique people have used in old India. And again, sometimes they go to the Ganges and they swim there, or they simply wash themselves, and they thought they can purify themselves by washing through water. So this is another strategy they used, still they are using. So likewise, people thought that they have to purify the mind, they have to cleanse their mind, and they unknowingly have used various techniques. But Buddha deny all these vrata, all these ascetic practices, and he says that's a direct path. And direct path is nothing but the Satipatthana. And sattanam visuddhya basically means that the purification will happen, and it is not the purifying of the body, rather the purification of the mind. So if one's mind is purified, so then we can say he's a pure person, he's a noble person. Soka pariddhavanam samatikkamaya. So soka is the sorrow, pariddhavanam is the lamentation. Sorrow and lamentation can be overcome. So we all may have various reasons to get sorrowful, various reasons to even to cry, to lament. And so if we practice Satipatthana properly, then we should ourselves experience sort of reduction of sorrow, reduction of lamentation, reduction of crying. So these are sort of verifiable benefits. It is not that limited to the book, but rather if we practice Satipatthana genuinely, then it should be capable of giving us or showing us all these benefits. So that is quite important, because it is not certain kind of a blind practice or based on blind faith. Rather, if we honestly practice, so we ourselves should feel the reduction of sorrow. We ourselves should feel there's a reduction of lamentation. Then dukkha domanassanam attangamaya. So dukkha is the various types of suffering. So this suffering has to be reduced. And again, there may be various resentments, resistance, reactions, and again anger. So those kind of some reactivity is available in the mind. So those also has to be reduced. So we ourselves can verify. So say you are practicing Satipatthana for 1 year. When compared to 1 year before, are you in a better position now? Are you in a fairly calm position now? Are you able to maintain your serenity, maintain your equanimity under any circumstance? So these are certain measures that we can take, we can consider. Therefore, Buddha, before the explanation of Satipatthana, he says, these are the benefits. These are not anyway some mundane benefits. These are really strong benefits. And while telling this, he is actually taking a sort of approach in the sutta. And then there's another term called Nyayasa Adhigamaya, where Buddha says, one will understand the proper path. So what is this proper path? It is the, we can say it is the Noble Eightfold Path, the correct path. What is the, we can say the only path. And one will properly understand this only path to attain Nibbana. So it is not merely by books or hearing, rather through one's own practice. Suppose someone is practicing Satipatthana. So after some time, if he honestly did it, so he himself may understand the Noble Eightfold Path. He himself will understand, okay, there is a sort of a path to follow. There is a way of living. So that will be evident to him. So this is another benefit mentioned. Nibbana sa satchikiriyaya, to realize Nibbana, to attain complete cessation, to attain complete understanding, enlightenment. So this is the sort of the direct path. Having said that, Buddha starts kind of a summary of the sutta telling, Ida bhikkave bhikkhu kaye kayanupassi viharati atapi sampajano satima vinaya loke abhijja domanassam. Now in this sasana, in this very life, a monk, a practitioner, is living kaye kayanupassi. He is now trying to spend time looking his own body. Looking his body. So basically, kaye kayanupassi, the term kaye kayanupassi also has some importance. So we can learn about the body using many techniques. Say you can prefer an anatomical book, anatomy book, or you can ask from someone. You can see a video, you can see a movie which is describing about the body. You can refer any kind of a documentary. So there are many methods available to understand about the body. But here, Kaye Kayanupassi emphasize that we ourselves have to pay attention to the body and to understand. So it's a direct experience. It is not some sort of a borrowed experience. It is not some sort of a inferential knowledge. Rather, we have to start with our direct knowledge. So this direct knowledge is something Buddha has praised. So there are various other methods to learn, as I mentioned, through the books, through the hearings, through the generations. So likewise, there are many other methods. But here, what is important is one to have the direct experience. So one may pay attention to the body, and as a result, one may get an understanding about the body. And not only that, the Satipatthana is sort of ordered in a way to go deeper. So starting with some basic establishment of mindfulness and later taking us to more and more deeper levels of understanding. And then there are four qualities Buddha emphasized while practicing Satipatthana. These four qualities we have to keep in mind. So first quality is Atapi. Atapi is, we can say, as the ardent or relentless effort. So we are never giving up, even though the say practice is difficult or practice doesn't bring us a quick results, still we are not giving up, rather we are continuing the practice. So therefore effort has two sides, we can say. The first one is to maintain this effort. for a long time. It is not just one day or one week that you practice Satipatthana effortfully and then give up. Rather, you are having a courage, perseverance to maintain this practice for a long, long time. So it may be necessary. Like you can't expect a little plant to grow quickly. It may take even years to grow and give you fruits. So similarly, our mind also has to naturally grow. And as a result, we have to provide some time. What we need to have is this perseverance. What we need to have is this continuation of the practice. So that requires a fair amount of effort, energy. And that is mentioned as atapi. And on the other hand, there may be certain ups and downs in our way. There may be various obstacles coming on our way. So on such occasions, we should also have courage to face them. And if mind collapse, we should be able to again raise it up and again energize it and again to practice. So therefore, this atapi is sort of a quality expected from the practitioner. So the techniques mentioned hereafter does not basically specialize on that quality, but rather it's a kind of a common quality where we have to maintain it throughout the practice. So irrespective of whatever the techniques mentioned in Satipatthana Sutta, whenever we are practicing any of these technique, any of these method, any of these meditation technique, so we have to have this atapi. We have to have this effort. Sampajano, another quality. So janati basically means knowing. Sampajano basically says that it has to be some thorough knowledge. One has to have some penetrative knowledge. So therefore, establishing mindfulness alone is not enough. So one has to direct one's mind, direct one's attention, so that one may be able to clearly know what is really going on. So under our focus, under our attention, there may be various processes, phenomena, and what is really going on within themselves. So this is a kind of an investigation. This is a kind of an experiment that we are doing. So that kind of an attitude also has to be there. Sampajana. Satima. Satima is that we have to maintain continuous mindfulness. So we may be starting with some vague mindfulness, wavering mindfulness. But when we are continuing, slowly we should be able to develop mindfulness. We are slowly gaining momentum, gaining mindfulness, so that we ourselves may feel now that I am mindful. There may be certain times I was not mindful, but most of the time I am mindful. So likewise, you may have to feel it. You may yourself understand, okay, there's a quality called mindfulness and I can feel it. I know what is mindfulness. It is not through the books and it is not through someone else's information. Rather, you yourself has to develop it and then only you know what is mindfulness. Satima. Vinayya loke abhijja domanassa. Now, another sort of a background Buddha mentioned here. What is the mindset one needs to maintain? So that mindset is basically free from any greed, craving, expecting results, or free from any resistance, free from any anger, free from any sort of a resentment. So therefore, kind of an equanimous attitude has to be maintained. So we can give a parable like sort of having a very accurate apparatus, having a very accurate, say, microscope for a specific task. Say, if you are using for a particular task is erroneous, then you cannot expect proper results, accurate results. Similarly, before we are doing this noble experiment, so Buddha is telling us what are the prerequisites. So this is the sort of a background we have to maintain, atapi, that we have to have effort, sampajano, we have to have the attitude of investigation, we are a little curious about what is going on, we are examining what is under our nose, And then Satima, we are maintaining mindfulness at this very moment. Vinayaloke abhijja domanassam, we are trying to keep our mind in an equanimity, fairly equanimous mode. Not attached with anything, not resenting with anything, not rejecting anything. So we have a sort of an open attitude, very balanced attitude. Now he is observing the body by his own focused attention. So similarly, Buddha mentioned, Vedanasu vedananupassī viharati, ātāpi sampajāno satimā vinayya lokeya abhijjā domanassa. So one can recognize various feelings, and these various feelings, first of all, has to be one's own feelings. We'll use the term own just for easy communication. So there are various feelings arising within the body and inside one's mind, and one would be able to directly recognize them, directly understand those feelings. And the qualities mentioned for Kayanupassana is common here as well. Atapi, Sampajano, Satima, Vinayaloke, Abhijjadomanasang. So when you are observing pleasurable feelings, you should not get attached to it. When you are feeling or you are going through some painful feelings, you should not resist them or have any resentment towards them. So you have to have a sort of a balanced attitude, balanced mind, equanimous mind. That is Vinayaloke, Abhijjadomanasang. And again, to continue this whole practice, not just one day, 2 day, maybe several months, several years, you may have to continue. So therefore you have this effort to continue. And sampajano, so you have to scrutiny. So you have to sort of scrutinize the process. So once your attention is drawn to somewhere, so you are carefully observing it, clearly knowing it. Satima, of course, mindfulness. And so these are the qualities that one needs to maintain even when is doing Vedanupassana. Then Chittanupassana, similar. So one has to look at one's mind at this very moment, understanding directly about one's own mind. So we can refer a book, we can go to a psychology course, we can go to a teacher, we can ask about our mind. So we can get a sort of inferential knowledge about the mind. But that is not the important thing here. What is important here is to directly understand one's own mind at that very moment. Whenever a defilement arises, whenever a thought arises, even wholesome or unwholesome thought arises, at that very moment, one is well aware of it. So therefore, there's a direct experience given prominence. Similarly, Dhamme su dhammanupassī viharati ātāpi sampajāno satimā vinayya lokeya abhijjā domanassa. So one is referring various phenomena and trying to understand and directly knowing all these various phenomena arising at this very moment. So these are the sort of introduction summary given for this sutta. Now if we consider the complete picture of Satipatthana, so there are four categories or four anupassana, four we can say observations, establishment of mindfulness. One is Kayanupassana. Actually, it has 14 techniques. And if we refer Vedanupassana, it has, we can say, one technique, one method. Again, Chittanupassana, it has one method. And when it comes to Dhammanupassana, it has five methods. So we can say five streams. So now we'll get on to one by one so that we can cover all these techniques. So if we refer the first technique, that is nothing but Anapanasati. So most of you may already be familiar with Anapanasati. Actually, we have discussed this while in Kayagatasati Sutta as well. But there's a significant difference as well when it comes to Kayanupassana, when it comes to Satipatthana Sutta. Because if you can remember Kayagatasati Sutta, only the establishment of mindfulness is emphasized. But not the Satipatthana Bhavana, not the meditation aspect of it. But mostly the establishment of mindfulness so that our mind may not wander. It may stay as much as possible within the body. So that is the emphasis given in the Kaya Gata Sati Sutta. But in Satipatthana Sutta, going beyond that, establishment of mindfulness is the first step. Next step is the development of that mindfulness, refining that mindfulness, and to understand the nature of the phenomena. So I can go to the next page of this PDF, where there are three stages in proper mindfulness. Whole practice, we can say the complete Satipatthana analysis. So Buddha very clearly mentioned three stages. First stage is Satipatthana. First stage is the establishment of mindfulness. The next stage is the development of establishment of mindfulness. And that is called Satipatthana Bhavana. So once one establish mindfulness, so one has to examine what is under the scrutiny. One has to examine the phenomena. Suppose you are establishing mindfulness on breath. So mere establishment is not enough. One has to examine the breath. One has to investigate the behavior of the breath, various qualities of the breath. And then only one may understand the nature of the breath. So that is where the Satipatthana Bhavana is referred here. And then, as a result of this Satipatthana Bhavana, one may get various insights. There's a possibility of arising various insights. And more one's mind is sort of becoming wise and becoming sort of cleansed. So one may have an eagerness, one may have a tendency to maintain that clarity, to maintain that purity. So there, one has to change one's way of life and one has to get on to a sort of a strategy so that one can further improve these insights, so that it becomes one's own, or to internalize these insights. So there one has to get on to a certain path, a complete methodology. So that is called Satipatthana Bhavana Gaminincha Patipada. So that is the Patipada, that is the path. So all these three components are there for the complete mindfulness. Now if you refer typical Western mindfulness, the last two parts are very rarely mentioned. They give more emphasis to establishment of mindfulness, that is also important. But we need to know the complete picture. So these are the three components or three stages in this whole Satipatthana. First stage is to establish mindfulness. And second stage is to understand the behavior of the phenomena and to allow various insights to arise. And last is to internalize these insights, to own or to have these insights forever, for a long time. And in order to have that, in order to do that, one needs a strategy, one needs a path, a complete way of practice, and that is the third aspect. Okay, now we'll get into Anapanasati. So this is the first technique available in Kaya Anupassana. So there Buddha starts with Ida bhikkave bhikkhu aranya gatova, rukkamula gatova, sunyagara gatova, nisidati pallankam abhujitva, ujunkayam panidhaya parimukhang satim upattapetva. So basically in Anapanasati, Buddha gives a sort of a background preparation, or he refers the environment, as well as he gives a sort of instructions about the posture. Aranyagatova, Rukkamulagatova, Sunyagaragatova. So basically one has to find a very quiet place, fairly free from any noise. And therefore, if one is able to go to a forest, if one is able to go to a tree root, or if one is able to go to an empty place, so that would be much better. Because Anapanasati is a very refined object, so you need fair amount of clarity, fair amount of sensitivity in order to understand the breath. So therefore you need a fairly silenced place to start with. It may be true that later you can even practice at moderate conditions. But as much as possible in the beginning, it is better to have a fairly silent place. And then Buddha talks about the posture, nisidati pallankam abhujitva, ujungkayam panidhaya. So where one has to sit cross-legged and have a erect body. So you are keeping the upper half of the body erect, straight. So this actually facilitates the breathing process, because you know, if your posture is sort of bent, then this passage of inhalation for this might be blocked. There may be certain blockages, certain obstacles for breathing. Therefore, Buddha first of all tell us the posture has to be proper. So he recommends the cross-leg posture. And anyway, if you are not in a position to sit cross-legged, it's all right to have a chair. But important that you are maintaining a straight posture so that the breathing is not hindered. Breathing is not blocked. Rather, breathing happens very naturally. Breathing is fairly facilitated. So, and another thing is, Buddha says, parimukhaṁ satiṁ upattapetva. One has to keep one's attention, keeps one's focus at the nostril. Because the breathing happens through the nose, and we are keeping our attention closer to the nostril. Or we can say closer to the upper lip. And we are not following the breath inside as the inhale happens, and we are not following the breath outside when the exhale happens. Rather, we are trying to maintain our attention at the nostril. This is very much like a gatekeeper. Suppose there's a gatekeeper. So his job is at the gate. Whenever a visitor comes, he may check his identity or whatever it is, and then he either allows the visitor to go in, or he denies the visitor to go in. He rejects. But his duty is basically is at the doorstep, at the gate. Similarly, suppose there is now coming someone from inside. Now he wants to go outside of the place. Now that is also allowed by the gatekeeper, and he is not following the person who is going outside. Rather, he maintains himself at the gate, at the doorstep. So therefore, the job of a gatekeeper is at the gate. He is not going inside, not going outside. He is fairly observing what is happening at the gate. Similarly, Buddha mentioned this sati, mindfulness, is like a gatekeeper. Sati dovariko bhikkave arya savako. So the noble person, this arya savaka, this practitioner, is using mindfulness as a dovarika, as a gatekeeper. And once he established mindfulness, then next step is sato asa sati, sato pasa sati. So he established mindfulness on breath. When in-breath happens, he know clearly this is in-breath. When out-breath happens, he know clearly this is out-breath. So he has to cultivate this now. Just knowing one breath, two breath is not enough. Just doing one day, two day is not enough. Rather, he is now continuing his practice. Every day, suppose he is maintaining a schedule, and there he is trying to keep one's attention on the breath. He tries to establish mindfulness on the breath. So breath itself is a refined object. So one needs certain attention, certain focus in order to catch the breath, in order to recognize the breath. Therefore,
one's mind might wander at the beginning. So because this focus is not available at the beginning, so mind might wander towards the past, towards the future. So one's skill, one's task is to again and again bring back this attention. Whenever it is shifted to the past, one knows it. At that time, he slowly bring it back to the breath. Again, attention may be drifted to the future, daydreaming, fantasizing. Once he know that, he slowly stop it and come back to the breath. So you may have to do it 1,000 times because mind has not trained to be with the breath. So it's a breath itself is a very refined object, and again it's a neutral object. It is not an exciting object. So therefore at the beginning it is very difficult because our mind like excitement. But there is nothing exciting here. So it is a sort of a neutral object, kind of a boring object. So that is where we need a lot of effort to not to give up, just to continue for a long time. So this relentless effort, athapi, is there. And sampajano, one needs to clearly know what is going on. So now in this breath, Buddha now recommends this sampajano, how one know the breath. So what are the characteristics one needs to know about the breath? It may be from which nostril the breath is coming in, from which nostril breath coming out, going out. Or is it long? Is it short? Is it warm? Or is it cool? So likewise, now the investigation starts. So this investigation is where the sampajano, now the practitioner, tries to know very clearly about the features of the breath, various characteristics of the breath. So that is also mentioned. Digang va asa santo, digang asa samiti pajanati, digang va passa santo, digang passa samiti pajanati, rasang va asa santo, rasang asa samiti pajanati, rasang va passa santo, rasang passa samiti pajanati. Either long, either short. So these characteristics one may know. So there's a simile given in the sutta. If there is a carpenter, he's having a saw, and he's using that saw, he's cutting a log. When he draws it long, he know that he is drawing it longer. When he is drawing it shorter, then he know that I am drawing short. He's keeping his attention at the cutting place, at the log, but he know very well I am cutting the log in long paces. I am cutting the log in short paces. So likewise, Buddha recommends us to keep our attention at the nostril and to know at this moment the breath happens either longer or either shorter. And remember that we are not purposely making the breath longer or shorter, but we are allowing the breath to happen naturally as the way it likes, and at that time we clearly know at this very moment whether it is short or whether it is long. And then if one is able to recognize this very clearly, that indicates one's attention has fairly improved, one's mindfulness has fairly improved, one is able to concentrate one's mind, because the breath itself is fairly a refined object. Now Buddha requests us to further refine it in order to know various stages of the breath. Now this is not the stages of the complete in-breath, but even within the breath, within the inhalation, within the exhalation, there are various stages. So this inhalation does not immediately happen, but it is a sort of a gradual process. So it's very softly, very gently starts, and it reaches certain peak, certain threshold. And afterwards, it's calming down, it's fading away, and ultimately it disappears. And there's a little gap just before the beginning of the out-breath. And out-breath also very gradually starts, and then reaches the middle, and then fades away and completely disappear. And then again there's a gap. After that gap, the next inhalation or next in-breath begins. So likewise, there's a complete cycle. So Buddha requests us to see this complete cycle. Sabbakaya patisangedi asa sisamiti sikkhati. So, if one is able to know like this, the complete in-breath, complete out-breath, and even the various little gaps, so that indicates one's attention has fairly grown and one can't do it without fair amount of restrainment. Because if you have any doubts, if you have any sort of, if you change your posture, if you put your hand too hard or you are trying to control it, you can't do it. Rather, you have to take the back seat. You have to observe very carefully what is going on. So all this requires fair amount of balancing, fair amount of restrainment. So the term sikkhati is important here because one is carefully observing the breath without wavering, without putting any doubt, without allowing mind to go to the past or future, completely establishing mindfulness on various phases of the breath. Now the beauty is that we may see various facets of the breath, various stages of the breath, and we can say it's very much like a Gaussian curve, where you have a beginning, you have a middle, you have an end. And again, then there's a gap, and then again there's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. So if we are properly practicing, so this the cycle become evident. But if we think logically, we might think more we practice, more and more characteristics may be visible and it may be endless. But there's a beautiful incident happen here. More we start to observe breath clearly, it is true that till certain stage, the breath information, the details of the breath becomes more and more evident. But there is another stage reached where breath starts to calm down. Breath starts to fade away. So sometimes we can't believe it because we expect breath to be really vivid. Breath to become more, we are able to capture more and more details. But the beauty here is breath starts to calm down. And now you can't recognize the previous details. So you can't now recognize previous characteristics of the breath. And those characteristics become vague. Characteristics become blurred. And even you can't now recognize whether it is in-breath or out-breath. Even that features or even those characteristics, how you distinguish in-breath and out-breath, even that can be disappeared. And only a kind of a very refined sensation may be only available. And you know that you are living and that's all. So this stage we say pasambhayam kaya sankharam asa sisamiti sikkhati. So where the calming down of the breath happens. Now Buddha mentioned, now actually all these refer to the first stage, establishment of mindfulness. And the second stage is the bhavana, where you are developing it again and again, cultivating this process. And now certain qualities of your mind are developing. And as a result, you are able to recognize the behavior of the breath. You are able to understand the behavior of the breath. And you can understand there's a beginning for the breath and there's an end for the breath. Or there's a beginning for inhalation, there's an end for inhalation. There's a beginning for exhalation, there's an end for exhalation. And if you see closely, it may not be a single exhalation, it may be a series of exhalations. It may be a series of inhalations. Each minute inhalation, each minute exhalation also has a beginning, also has an end. So you may understand they have the nature to arise and pass away. They have the nature to come and go. They have the nature to happen and then disappear. So these are certain qualities that we are understanding because of our close observation. we are keeping a very quiet mind, fairly equanimous mind, fairly calm mind. And as a result of that, we are able to clearly know this common characteristics, common to in-breath, common to out-breath, and common to even to that subtle sensation. Once the in-breath and out-breath disappear, and it becomes a sort of a common sensation, just a knowing, even to that, this coming and going is common. This arising and passing away is common. Happening and disappearance is common. So Buddha mentioned that, telling samudaya dhammanupassīvā kāyasmiṃ viharati vaya dhammanupassīvā kāyasmiṃ viharati samudaya vaya dhammanupassīvā kāyasmiṃ viharati. So one is able to know this arising and passing away nature of the breath, and later this breath become sort of converted or transferred into a sort of a very minute level sensation. Even there you can recognize these characteristics. And more you do this practice, you understand. So this arising and passing away nature is completely common to the whole body. It is not only unique to the breath. Breath actually represents a part of the broad body. The whole body has these characteristics. And inferentially you can know, even to the others, whoever the beings, whoever breathing, have the same nature. Something similar to yourself. Iti ajjattam vākāye kāyanupassī vihirati, bahiddhā vākāye kāyanupassī vihirati. So if one do enough practice using one's own body, the insights arising, you can apply even to the outside. And you can inferentially know it is common to others as well. Then more and more insights are possible. You understand this arising and passing away nature. And even you may be able to recognize certain causes, conditioning, causing this kind of physical process. And probably you may be able to even understand cause and effect relationship. So likewise, there are many potential insights are there. All are not mentioned here, but the sort of arising and passing away nature is mentioned here. And another insight is that you will understand Atti kāyoti vā panassa sati pachu pattitā hoti. Now, when you begin your practice, you are so and so. I am a man, I am a woman, I am a mother, I am a father, I am a child. So, I am in this country, I am in that country. So, there are so many perceptions, there are so many signs in your mind. Your mind is fairly conditioned. But, more you practice, so all that external parameters are removed, external identification is removed, and your mind becomes fairly clear, very simplified, very refined. And with that refined mind, you will understand there is nothing but kind of a bodily process, kind of an ongoing process, kind of a causal process available in this body. And he is now using that bodily process to further enhance mindfulness, to further develop wisdom. Attikāyotivā panassa sati pachupattitā hoti, yāvadeva jñānamattāya patissati mattāya. Now he wants to use this very body to further enhance mindfulness, to further enhance wisdom. And more one develops such wisdom, there may be a possibility of freedom of the mind. The mind may even relinquish this complete sensations, complete knowing of the breath, and mind can be completely free, not associating anything, not attaching with anything, not clinging to anything. And there may be such potential even in this practice. So Buddha refers that as anissitocha viharati nachakinchi loke upadhyati. So the first glimpse of the freedom may be very short, may be momentary. One may not even notice it. But more and more one repeats this practice, one may be able to notice it. One may understand, okay, when one reaches certain stage, when the momentum is built up, so mind becomes free. At that time, mind does not attach with anything. And so one, when one understands that, so one has to improve that. One has to cultivate that freedom. One has to enhance that freedom. One has to prolong that freedom. So how to prolong it? How to enhance it? How to have it even in the walking session? How to have it in every sitting session? How to have it even in day-to-day activities? So there you need a complete methodology. You need to have a fair strategy to sort of internalize this freedom. So that is where the Noble Eightfold Path come into the picture. So anissitocha viharati. So this viharati terms refers that one is abide by. So one is abide by the Noble Eightfold Path so that these insights become one's own. Or this freedom becomes very common to oneself, or very available, readily available to oneself. So there you are sort of developing a way of life. You are living a way of life so that these insights become your own. And it's a kind of a complete change of one's life, because it is not the same person who started meditation is now living, but there's a significant behavioral changes have happened in oneself. So therefore, even in this first Anapanasati technique has a very broad scope. And even in the Anapanasati Sutta, Buddha says, in this single kammattana, single object, can be used even to develop Kayanupassana, Vedanupassana, Chittanupassana, and Dhammanupassana. So therefore, even though this Anapanasati in Satipatthana Sutta only referred at the Kayanupassana section, one can even develop it in order to understand Vedanupassana, in order to understand Chittanupassana, and in order to understand Dhammanupassana. So therefore, this Anapanasati is one of the very strong meditation technique, and it has many benefits and fairly deep or profound insights. So with that, I like to conclude today's Sutta teaching.